So again, everyone, hello and happy Groundhog Day. I am sure this is not a holiday celebrated around the world, but it is in the United States and a few other places, and it looks like the groundhog is not going to see a shadow today. It certainly isn't here. And so if that omen bears any truth at all, perhaps we can look forward to an earlier spring. And I know that will be a welcome event for almost everyone on this call. We've had so much extreme and turbulent weather this winter. We're looking for a bright and sunny springtime. And welcome to this call, all of you who come faithfully every week, and those of you who are new for the first time. I'll go over the blessing protocol toward the end of our message. In the meantime, while we're waiting for everyone to arrive, I would love to take some calls. And I see we have a caller from area code 321, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, you had mentioned once what would be important things that, you know, would help people if you had information to put in the book, the next book that you want to write. Anything really important that would, you know, be meaningful?
And yes. Do you have something to offer?
There's something that would mean so much to me to develop further in my character, the ability to be more calm, to have
more
calmness about me.
Uh-huh.
And I delved kind of deep a little bit just on my own. Can I share something cool I found?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. We'd all love to hear.
Well, I looked into some expressions from Sanskrit.
Uh-huh.
One is called Yudhishthira, and it means divine calmness. And it says in part, just briefly, that it's a primary discriminative faculty, because calmness is the principal factor necessary for expression of right discernment. It says calmness is clarity of perception. It discerns all things without distortion. It governs span and penetration of perception. It infers effects of wrong action. It's the power of assimilation of goodness. It's common sense. And it's also intuitive imagination leading to manifestation. And another little expression I found was drishtadyumna, which just means bold or confident splendor, which relates to calm inner light, truth, revealing intuition, which is bold and confident because it is unerring, evolving ultimately into unity to God.
Mm-hmm.
So calmness. If I could develop a calmness about me, it would mean so much. And I know that Master puts things in certain ways that makes it resonate.
Yes.
And lets the lights go on a little bit.
And, Scott, I have some good news for you. As soon as I can get everything together to begin our next webinar, and I'm not sure when that will be with our blessing seminar coming up on the 21st, I have to give everyone a chance to get through the webinar and me get through the webinar and have enough time to prepare for that seminar. So I don't know. I'm still a little bit indeterminate as to whether we will hold the webinar between now and then or after the seminar is over. I'll know within a few days, but the reason I use that prelude to tell you is that the webinar is actually about the 12 principal and universal laws of life. And one of them is calmness.
Yeah.
These are descriptions from Yeshua, and we're going to take these up in the webinar, and these really are laws. You know, Scott or anyone else interested in the subject, you can do a Google search on laws of the universe. And you can get everything from conventional science to somebody's religious opinion or poetic opinion or metaphysical opinion. someone says, oh, beliefs are a law of the universe. Well, I beg to disagree. Beliefs are a power given to us. But you see, a law has to pertain to all things on all levels, everywhere at all times, like the law of gravity. It could truly be considered a law. I don't think that rock out in my front yard is there because of its belief. Now, it can be moved by belief, yes, because belief is a power. I've seen things like the law of agreement. People tend to assign whatever is important to them to the level of law. And it's so consequently between human laws, sometimes that we don't like, sometimes laws that actually really are not laws at all, and scientific laws we can't relate to, we get a little bit mushy on the subject of what really is a law and how can we follow that law in our life, such as the law of cause and effect. We will actually be looking at the 12 central laws. And I really believe, based on analogies and anecdotes that Yeshua has told me, that he chose the apostles according to their ability to exemplify these 12 laws, with him at the center as the power of love. Love is actually not a law. You can't enforce it. You can't apply it as a mandate on situations. It is a power extending from God, which we all can use as the power in our life, and it is the power of our very being. But you cannot put it in the category of a law. So I believe Yeshua stood in the center of the circle as the power of love, around which he helped 12 men exemplify the 12 principal laws of existence of the universe. And in our pursuit of bringing more into our life of the Christed life, we want to dedicate this seminar to him and to those powers and to those principal laws of the universe, of which calmness is one. The fact is, calmness is our only respite from continual change. Change is one of the laws of the universe, and it is only balanced by calmness. It's the only thing, and you can see it applies all the way to from particle physics down to our state of mind. It has to do with the way we use gravity to make sure that the pillars of our home stay calmly in place. It is a law, and we'll examine how, in fact, it is, and how to set our life up so that we more easily follow these 12 principal laws of the universe. It will transform your life faster than anything else I know, other than becoming a blessing giver. So your question was very potent, Scott, and an answer is in the works. Whether it comes soon or after the seminar, I'm not sure yet, but it will be there.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to talk? If so, it just press star 6 and then 1 so that your star 6 unmutes your telephone and 1 opens your line. And we have Mara on the line. I haven't heard from you in ages, Mara.
Well, I've been so talkative over the years, I thought I'd give others a turn. But I was just struck by this, which I always am, this discussion, because I was reviewing this morning and just a little while ago the webinar that you gave on energy, and and I had just finished running across this line before it was time to get ready for the blessing. And it is, in the conduction of energy, one of its components must be sufficiently neutral and passive as to permit multiple flows of activity without generating conflict. And I immediately thought of two things. One, that seems to me to explain why we blessing givers are to let go of thought and just to enter that calmness as much as we can, to be neutral and passive.
Mm-hmm.
And the second question is, it would seem that if that were one of our requests as blessing givers, that we would be helped by Yeshua to accomplish that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you see, as blessing givers, we have to be neutral, because it's not for us to say where the will of God will be directed.
Right.
Or the power and flow of the Holy Spirit or the love of Christ. It's not for us to say or direct that, and there could be many, many layers of energy that have to flow through and from us. And only in this center of calm can that happen. As a matter of fact, at the end of creation, which was all energetic, we are told, in the seventh stage of creation, God rested, returned to the state of calm from which he manages all of creation henceforward. And of course, the Sabbath was instituted to help us have a day at the end of a cycle of activity to restore our sense of calm. Energy is one of the laws of the universe. It is a law that everything is energy. That rock out in my front yard is energy. It's just very, very compressed and dense energy that doesn't move externally. But there is a great deal of energy inside that rock. We could split any atom in that rock and explode this whole town. Everything is energy. Our feelings are energy. Our body is energy. Our minds could simply not operate if they didn't have the binary polarity of logic and comparison and an energetic field in which to store experience and information. But at the same time, without the other component of calm, we would not be able to access and discern the important aspects of the information we need to retrieve from our mind. Without that point of calm, we would not be able to say, "Be still, my heart." And then from within that stillness, we look at our feelings and take a look at which ones are reactive feelings and which ones are genuine states of passion or compassion. And so it is from that calm that we discern. And people who want to read a little more about this could look at the chapter on the One Spirit in Love Without End. That addresses the subject pretty powerfully. And then there's more on that in the Keys of Yeshua on the sacred and the spiritual. So those are two things to refer to. But it's woven throughout Love Without End, if you just look for it, like Mara was just quoting. There are quotes all through there that actually reflect the binary nature of this universe as energetic and peaceful, calm and active. And these alternating states empower each other. And if you look back over the webinars that we've been, Yeshua and I have been bringing you through the last 2 years, you will see in the new webinar on the universal laws that each webinar focused upon at least one of those laws. And so we're going to bring it all together where it's easy for you to see it, almost like a prism that has been refracted through a crystal and now is in 12 radiant colors that you can see flowing in sequence, belonging in sequence one with another, and use them to entrain your habits, your attitudes, your life, and your being. So it's something to look forward to, whether soon or later, and I hope we can do it sooner, but a lot depends upon what I'm told by higher guidance as to the time and the place for revealing this. It's so good to hear from you, Mara, and I hope you've been well.
Yes, I have. I've had my challenges, but thank you very much. And I'm so happy that you've done so well with all of the challenges. Wow. Good example for the rest of us.
Well, when I think about it, I get tired. But you know what? All of us can change the place where we center our perception and our attitude for that day.
Right.
And if we wake up and we put sunshine in our being, even if there's pain at a lower level or tiredness or confusion, we can lift ourselves out of it. I had a little situation with my kitty today, and I'll just make that a very as short as I can. He had had his breakfast, but he didn't seem very hungry. He'd only ate about half of it, and he was kind of moping around and looking up and meowing at me like, oh, it's a cloudy day. What do we do? I'm so bored. I'm unhappy. He was a mopey, mopey little cat. And I said, well, what can we do to make you happy? And he goes and runs and gets in his basket, the one with a handle on it, that I carry him around the house in. That's his trippy little thing, to be carried around by the handle in his basket. So we took a couple of trips through the house in his basket. He jumps out, looks really bright-eyed and happy, and goes and eats his breakfast. You know, I think a lot of times we make too big a deal out of what it would take to make us happy. Sometimes a glass of lemonade will do the job. Sometimes just sitting, walking outside and feeling the sun will do the job. And from that new state of happier perception, we can get on with our day and even ask ourselves, well, I don't know what got me down. I don't know how that happened. Well, see, life is like an elevator, and you can choose which floor you get out on. And the problems will still be the same, but the way you view the problems, the way you deal with them, the way you get through your day is very different depending on what place you get off on the elevator. And so becoming more fluid with your life makes a huge difference. Sometimes it's a prayer, sometimes a meditation, but it can be a very simple thing that just changes the whole equilibrium of your day. So I hope you have a wonderful day after your blessing.
Thank you.
We've got, and bye-bye. I owe you a letter, and I'm going to get it off, and I hope you understand why you haven't gotten it yet.
I definitely do, because I owe a jillion of them.
Okay, my dear. Let's see. We have a caller from area code 413. Hi.
Hi, Glenda. This is Heidi. Thank you so much for everything you do and your choices that help so many of us. And, I had a question that I'm always so interested in your message, so it's a conflict inside whether to bother with this question or to just let you go ahead and say whatever Yeshua was guided to, and you can incorporate this in another day. But it may be a little sometimes I'm confused as to how to follow Yeshua or God's guidance. I have one side of me saying, yeah, this is what God is guiding me, and then the other side having the opposite idea that feels like it's guidance. So it was a question on being able to discern and hear and follow Yeshua or God guidance. But you can address that.
Oh, that's a very good question. And I think that's a question everybody has. I really do. You know, the thing is, recently I was around a person who was a very willful, misguided person. And just about everything he did, he'd say, you know, Spirit told me to do this. Spirit told me to do that. Spirit told me to do that. And I've never seen a man with a life more like a boomerang. And I asked him, I said, well, what are you listening to? And he said, I'm listening to Spirit. Well, after being around this person for a while, I realized he was listening to his ego. He was listening to some inner drive that had a compulsion. And I don't think God figured into it very much at all. One of the things I have learned through the years is that God is persistent. Yeah. And God is patient. And it's okay. It's totally okay to not jump at the first intuition, at the first impulse. It's all right, as long as you acknowledge it and you say, you know, I wonder if this is from God. And you hold it in your back pocket, or you write it on a list and say, you know, and then ask God, just say, did you tell me to do this? Did you tell me to do this? You know, question it. God is not offended by that. Actually, God is much more offended by impulsive behavior. And compulsive behavior. God is not offended by your desire to be correct in your guidance. And I've noticed that then, if it really is God's will, he'll show you in another way. And you take a look at that and you say, this looks like a confirmation. Is this a confirmation, God? Okay, and you write that down or you put it back in your pocket and you just remember it, and then the third prompt will come. It's called the law of three, and actually that's even in the scriptures. God will speak three times.
Wow.
And if God speaks three times, you can pretty much be sure who's talking.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, and this helps us to discern. It's interesting how God works in three ways and how we have the Trinity, the three presences of God, in body, in original form, and in spirit. It's interesting how our universe was built around love, spirit, and the adamantine particles as the body of the universe. And this law of three seems to be consistently relevant to the inspirations of God. And I look for that. Sometimes it's so clear because it's so obvious in relation to previous patterns that God has shown me, patterns of behavior in myself and toward others, that once is enough to see that, okay, now I'm supposed to do this in this direction, or now I'm supposed to do this in another. But it's never just a wild card that I respond to once. If it comes across like out of the blue, like the universe playing a wild card, I listen for the second and third input. And it really keeps me from being a bouncing ball in a wind chamber.
That's really helpful. It's good to know that God isn't offended when I'm doubting and keep saying,
no.
Are you sure this is it? Or can you help me be sure this is it? Because I'm still not sure. But anyway.
Exactly. Well, my advice on that is, instead of doubting as a negative flow, cast it into a prayer and say, oh God, I want to know that this is from you, so that I can embrace it with all my heart. Please show me. You see the difference?
Yes, very much.
It's the same glass half full, but is it half full or half empty? Right. You know, it's the same reluctance to leap into something that's a first impulse. But is it out of fear or is it out of a desire to discern? God will honor your desire to discern and give you more clarity. So I think that's a very good question.
Thank you so much, Glenda. Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome, welcome. And we have on our line David or Kathy Youngman, and we haven't heard from you in a long time.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi, you were on my mind this morning. Do you know that? I was actually thinking, I'm going to call David and Kathy. I've got to make sure they're still on the planet.
I guess we got the message.
We got the message.
Good deal. So, how are you, and what would you like to say?
Well, I just want to say, Glenda, the number one thing that's been in my mind lately is, be still and know that I am God. I love that saying in the Bible. And I just want to see if everyone on the line could say a prayer for Monica Davis, because she's in a coma, and she's my neighbor. And I just hope that everyone would say a special prayer for her to get her through this, and also say a prayer for my mom, Nellie Crawford, because she's been kind of out of it and in the nursing home, and I found out they were over-medicating her, and I got a stop put to that, so she's back talking again.
So oh, good. Good. Bless you.
And just keep her in your prayers. I sure would appreciate it.
And oh, we definitely will. We definitely will, Kathy. And we love you both so much.
We love you too, Glenda, and it's good to hear your voice. And I just want to let you know that just before we got on the conference, I went downstairs and I made Dave a big glass of lemonade.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's exactly what I did before the conference. I love coming with a glass of lemonade.
Yes. So we did the same thing. So we're sitting here with a glass of lemonade, and it sure did make me feel better just taking a sip of it.
Great. That's great. And you know, Kathy, the scripture, be still and know that I'm God. Look at how much that works with the comments everybody has made today.
Yeah.
It must be a theme in our heart. And you know, that's what I see as we come together more and more as a community. We're all coming into faith to focus and to move into our next big question or our next big realization.
Wow.
How can we know the stillness of God? Actually, that's where we find our answers. And so in relation to how do you know it's from God, another comment would be still in the presence of this inspiration. So, all good realizations, everyone, so much. We are actually at 2:31 right now, and we need to move into our blessing. I'll just open the line to say hi to Paul. Paul, I'm so sorry we didn't get time for a substantial comment from you, but if you want to say hello, we'd love to hear your voice.
Hello, everybody. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Are you doing well?
I'm doing just swell.
Great.
Thank you.
That's what I wanted to hear. Okay, all of my dear ones, we will move now into our blessing. And for those of you who are new, the blessing is conveyed energetically through the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, and the creative regeneration of God Almighty, anchored into the magnetic forces of our Blessed Mother Earth. And in order to receive these energies more fully, I would ask you to sit in a chair comfortably, but not erect, not erect to a spine-stiffening way, just comfortably. And not slouchy, just so that energy can flow through you. With your legs uncrossed, your feet on the ground, and not in rubber-soled shoes. natural, whatever you have on your feet, let it be natural. Barefoot, cotton socks, wool socks, silk socks, whatever. And your head uncovered unless it's it's part of your faith that you cover your head in prayer. This is an energetic prayer that is spoken at first in words, but then carried out and completed through an energetic blessing. And the energy will listen to your prayer that you are praying during the time of the blessing, which will last about 3 minutes. So I would ask all of you now to be in that comfortable seated position. Close your eyes, feet on the ground, and stop the thinking process. Just relax from thinking about anything. Be in your heart. Allow yourself to just settle into the peace and the bliss of your inner being, the place where we all can go to find calm. And I will say an invocation to Yeshua, and then you may begin your prayer, which can last for until I let you know the blessing, the energetic blessing is complete. After that, go and rest for at least 7 minutes, and don't think during that time. Let it be the rest you have after a large meal, because this is a very large spiritual meal. Give yourself a chance to assimilate this gift, this blessing, on your body, your heart, your soul, your whole being. So we will begin, and I invite any and all blessing givers who would like to be with me to stand and join with me. And we want to invoke and thank our blessed Yeshua. Thank you so much for inviting us to your altar and embracing us with your love, that we may be nourished spiritually, emotionally, and physically, that we may be released from anything negative or harmful, that we may be brought further into the light of God. Thank you for being with us and sharing with us the true nature of your guidance. We ask that you be with those who are ill, those who are feeling alone, and those who are transitioning in or out of our lovely planet Earth. We ask that their souls be resting in your hands. And thank you for being with us in this moment to convey the blessings to all who seek to receive. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest and be nourished by it. Have a wonderful week and know that God loves you. And so do I. I look forward to being with you next week.